The title of today's talk is Mirroring is Hypnosis. Virtually from birth, before a word can be heard, the baby is greeted with loving smiles. Well, we leave smiles on the mother's part. And so the conditioning starts. Exaggerated facial expressions accompany the first few weeks of a baby's life, wanting to evoke happiness, joy, trust, whatever, the parents leaning over the baby, looking with smiles and coos and appreciation and comfort and, oh baby, if they're crying, you know, with exaggerated, you know, pathetic condolences. So the conditioning is that the child is actually getting hypnotized into appropriate facial response. And this goes on in different forms for the rest of our lives. It's called advertising. It's advertising what you want. Something is advertising to your subconscious mind a suggestion of what would be good, what would be pleasant. How many times do you see pictures of sunsets or sunrises over the ocean? Spare me. 400 million pictures of how you should appreciate and how you should want to go to the beach and see the sunset or the sunrise. Now, that's not to say it's not beautiful. That's just saying it's creating a desire to see yourself in that position, in that place, with that thing. They advertise Louis Vuitton handbags. $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 a handbag. So you can put it under the table, on the floor, and kick it while you're at the restaurant. It's like this is, you have arrived. If you can afford this handbag, you have arrived. So it's planting seeds of associationship with things. From the day one till the day we leave the body, we're being shown things that we begin to mirror and don't understand, that we're being hypnotized. So basically, our mind is going to go on offering ideas to us that we don't know we saw somewhere. Real estate people have an interesting time selling property. And what's amazing to them is that clients will very often give them a detailed description of what they want. What kind of house, what it should have in it that would make them happy. So the realtor goes scanning what's on the market, finds what's on the market that fits the description, and starts showing those properties to the house hunters or people who are looking for other types of property. And over again, they reject property that meets most of their criteria, the ones that they've given to the realtor. And in desperation, the realtor keeps scanning for property that might meet some kinds of the qualifications, but really basically doesn't fit the full description. And so she takes a chance, takes them to the house to show them the property, and they instantaneously fall in love with it. And the reason is that the front hall chandelier reminds them of grandmother's house. Nothing else basically meets the criteria, but the chandelier triggers some sense of identity or well-beingness that they want to have. And it happens very often in the real estate business. The realtors are showing property, and it ends up to being the very property they didn't describe. But there is something that triggers them. And it's been mirrored into their subconscious, and their subconscious has hypnotized them into desiring it. But they don't know it. And oftentimes people marry the mirror. How many times have you seen married couples that look terribly alike would be a brother and a sister? Interesting. Why would they be so attracted to themselves in a mirror image, which is the opposite sex, but a mirror image of themselves somehow? Happens very often. You look just like your and you look like, oh, you look like our family. So mirroring goes on all the time, where we don't even hear words. We just see images. And those images get worked into our subconscious in a sense of rejection or acceptance or comfort or abundance. Whatever it is that it's suggesting is going on, and we don't know we are being hypnotized. But it happens all through our lives that we get hypnotized into thinking something, feeling something, when certain images come up, or ideas come up, or words come up. How does a person get conditioned? Well, in like the play South Pacific, the song, "You've got to be taught, carefully taught, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be taught over and over before you are 7 or 8. And so social ideas of what you will accept or not accept as comforting to be around, or okay to be around, or even accepting to be around. I mean, how long has the Middle East been at war between the Jews and the Arabs? They just cannot get over their conditioning generation after generation next door to each other. So we think we are intelligent people, but we're overridden subconsciously by images from mirroring. in our environment and don't even realize how that happens. Like food and different kinds of diet and types of information and education. You often hear conversations among eligible people for marriage when they're talking and they say, oh, I'm dating so-and-so, and they say, oh, I don't know them, what about them? And they say, oh, he's a pilot, he's a doc, she's a nurse, she's a teacher, she's this, she's that. No, she's not a person. She's a profession. And, or she's, you know, Japanese, or she's South Korean, or she's Mexican, or she's Argentinian, or she's this or that or the other thing. They're not people, they're ideas. So you're supposed to think, well, if he's a doc, you know, that's high on the rank. Doctor, Indian chief, you know. So here we are. Why is it so important to give the description of a person as their profession? Or their race. Or their country of origin, you know. Oh, they're French, they're Italian, they're English, they're this, they're that. And that's supposed to replace the personality of the person? The individuality of the person? No. And we don't realize how much of that conditioning goes on in us and why it's so difficult to get over us, to get to a place where we can be still and unreactional to stimuli that would normally stimulate us. We have to down-train and out-train. It's all God. And I keep going back to the simple description that of Mother Teresa when she was being interviewed by a reporter from the West. And she was asked why she could tolerate taking care of people that she'd picked up in alleys that had been dumped there that were dying because they don't take untouchables in hospitals in India. And she would take these people in and care for them till they died or that they got well. But it was hard work to nurse sick and dying people. And he said, well, how can you do that day after day, taking care of these poor, wretched people? And she simply said, oh, I'm not taking care of people, wretched people. I'm taking care of the body of Christ. So in her mind, she had neutralized her identity with where they were, let's say, coming from, their caste, their illness, their condition. She was taking care of the body of Christ. She had neutralized her conditioned response. And that's what is required for moving along towards enlightenment. We have to neutralize what we've been conditioned to. And so it's getting neutral. Neutral gives us options. If we're neutral, we have options. You go to neutral to go to drive, you go to neutral to be able to shift back into reverse. You can't just go from drive to reverse. You have to go through neutral. And neutralizing our life is pretty much a life's work. To be neutral and to understand that every single thing is conscious. Every single person has God consciousness within, but is not using it in the manifesting form of this lifetime. And so wanting to, let's say, get past this hypnotizing, mirroring behavior that we've been conditioned with is to be aware that we're nothing but a collection of that. We are a collection of mirroring and hypnosis. And so getting rid of our collection of reactions to ideas, rejection of ideas, rejection of peoples, rejection of the idea that war is ungodly. How can it be ungodly if God is the only creator? See, this idea that we murder and meanness and difficult times is ungodly. It's your idea of what God is. If God is the only creator, the arc creator, then how does that blend with the idea that this over here is separate from God? So, is it separate from God, or is it separate from your idea of God? If God is working something out that you don't understand, now that's a different story. If God is in the process of working through something with the earth, with mankind, with the universe, I don't think he's checking in with us as to whether or not we like it or not. But are we checking in with God in the middle of something we don't like to bring ourselves out of our rejection that this is outside of God to allowing it to be in the creation of God? And that is required if we want to enlighten. So, is the kicker of the dog and the dog separate? Or is it God kicking God in the dog? Very hard. It doesn't compute. And yet, it's a fact. If God is the creator of the dog, and the dog has a spirit, and if God is the creator of the man kicking the dog, and has a spirit, doesn't mean that the guy is cognitive of being, having God or a spirit. He's just, let's say, socially conditioned and acting out of his mirroring hypnosis, as opposed to being centered and receptive to the in-housing spirit that he has. So he's, let's say, repressing his relationship to his own spirit, to God power within, and is acting out of hypnosis of desire, likability, didn't like this, doesn't like that. And so the idea that God is absent just because he's not recognized is not true. And we have to downtrain and outtrain our belief systems that have been, let's say, throughout our lives offered to us. So if you can't have a $5,000 handbag, you know, I don't know. It's a very treacherous thing, and that's why learning to relax and neutralize your emotional reactionalism. If you don't learn to relax, you're going to be running on adrenaline, which is a frequency that blocks receptivity to familiarity and receptivity to the soul. As long as you're tense, you're not listening to the frequency of your soul. You're blocking. And so joy, open-heartedness, open-mindedness, relaxation, all of those are neutralizing our separation from the spirit within us. Yoga means yoking back to spirit. Religion means religare, linking back to spirit. And how can you do that if you're using the same energy as blocking? So undoing the habituation of tension in the face of what looks like something that would make you tense from conditioning, to learn to relax in the face of that is challenging. It's the most challenging thing we do. So, over time, we down-program our ego, we down-program our responses and conditioning, our hypnosis, and we relax more and more in more situations until we're more open to the presence of receptivity to the soul. Religare, linking back, yoking back through yoga. And the idea of this relaxed demeanor, do you like to be around somebody's a redneck? You see, we call them rednecks for a reason. Because they actually usually have a redder neck because they're constricting the flow of blood in their neck by their tension. And so they're always reactional. So if something happens, they have a hair trigger temperament that makes them react. And that can come from being beaten up as a kid, having problematic environments in their life that keep them in tension. And so they're on guard. It's the idea of fight and flight. Either you've got the parasympathetic nervous system, which is relaxation in charge, or you have the sympathetic nervous system, which is fight and flight and reactionalism. Defense of the idea that you're in danger or could be in danger. Well, over and over again, we can hear that, but can we do that? Can we be calm in the face of seeing something that could be problematic in the sense of triggering reactionalism. So, if when somebody leaves the body, quote, quote, they die, and you hear everybody say, oh, they're gone on to a better place, their soul. Well, where was their soul when they were alive, if they weren't in a better place with their soul? Have to leave the body? Yeah. So conditioning is a lifetime of work to get undone. And it's not an easy job. And we fail over and over and over again at trying to be relaxed and joyful and calm in the face of things that look difficult. But over time, we are able to do that in more and more situations. Master Kripal used to say we're nothing but a bundle of addictions and habits. And that until those are undone, we're not connecting back to our soul. St. Teresa of Avila. God stood at the shore of himself and dove in. How can he do things like that? Anything goes with the big guy, I guess. A divine splash happened. Billions of drops were propelled into space. I said to a drop shooting past me one night, where are you going? What's the hurry? Slow down. It did. And we talked for a while, that drop and I. Some angels too came by. There is more traffic than you think cruising around. His hands can shape through ours, and our sounds can somehow echo what God has never said. For the divine is really speechless. It is too in love to chat. The holy wind ruffled our hair and caused a lot of commotion. We think God made some rules, but how can that be true when our souls are really the governor of all? His mind can shape through ours. Our bodies and the earth are all as clay. Is that not so, my dear? I have a lovely habit. At night, in my prayers, I touch everyone I have seen and smile. Most men in power have not the strength or wisdom to be satisfied with the way things are. The sane know contentment. The sane know contentment. For beauty is their lover, and beauty is never absent from this world. The further away light is from one's touch, the more one naturally speaks of the need for change. Yes, overthrow any government inside that makes you weep. The child blames the external and focuses his energies there. The warrior conquers the realms within and becomes gifted. Only the inspired should make decisions that affect the lives of many. Never a man who has not held God in his arms and become the servant of unity. Mm. Well, well, well. Timely.